This is Andrew Andy Andreas, the Devil's Apprentice, the Hell and High Water podcast, attempting to make our maiden debut. Without any technical difficulty of an overloaded computer, hopefully 2 gigabytes is going to buffer this whole thing, and we'll get through the evening somehow. We've already tried it about 3 times and just fudged everything. Devil's advocates in a society predicated on some sort of insanity, which is often nondescript, because very often what appears to be is not really what it is, and what really is not what it appears to be. Those of you who are old enough to remember, I suppose once upon a time there was a simpler age in which matters were, I'd say, much more predictable and comfortably decided behind images like Father Knows Best and Donna Reed and My Three Sons. Actuality, I suppose these are times which try men's souls, and translated by the Greeks, the soul is someone's mind. Some Western Europeans or modernists have some difficulty with this concept. They don't actually know what a mind is because they actually lack a mind. They lack the linguistic roots and the conceptual basis on how to conceive of what a mind is. And here, amongst the cosmos, among the ancient spirits, amongst Mother Nature, in the deepest, darkest outposts of space between the stars, flying, floating, peacefully adrift, we find a reality, a new frontier of sorts. Isaac Asimov was pretty good about saying things like that. I'm a pretty big Isaac Asimov fan. I thought his Foundation trilogy was quite good. One second while I adjust this boom microphone so it doesn't keep slipping down in front of me. Technical. Oh, where's the roadies? God, you can't live without the roadies. I heard a band on the public radio the other day who claimed that the roadies make more money than they do, in a sense. That's what you get for playing as an opening band for Nine Inch Nails. Back in the days, musicians actually got paid money instead of promissory notes. And, well, I don't know, I'm all pretty much happy in a sense with technology and the modern age. Hopefully the new technology will completely undermine the society and give birth to a new society whereby people will work according to their abilities and means and get paid according to their need. That sounds like a communist statement. Well, it might be, but generally speaking, I'm sick and tired of trying to figure out whether I am making money or losing money. So, for the sake of my own sanity, I suppose I've taken a very selfish, self-centered position. I've postured myself somewhere between the Anarchos and all those other people. But that's okay. I don't mind. I could be in worse company. And it's actually quite pleasant at times while I sit here playing with this darn mixing board type of thing, trying not to overload the circuits. 6 minutes and 30 seconds into this podcast. Recently, I've been doing some writing. I have a blog on Yahoo 360 under the name Andrew Zito, Z-I-T-O, and that can be reached, I believe, let's see, with the address of blah, 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 computer, move, computer, fast. Wow. Looks like Allen Ginsberg, too. Huh. How's that possible? He wasn't from Brooklyn. I don't know, man. Yes. Quite easily, that could be found at HTTP colon //360 360.yahoo.com /Andrew_ZITO. Yes, that's the blog. The website is ZITO.biz. It's based on the derivation of the Greek word zito, zithao, zita, ita, tau, omega, for you who know the Greek, meaning long life or long live, or zito Heraclides, long live Heraclides. Zito Alexander, long live Alexander, something like that. But most of all, Zito Socrates. Socrates, the man who died for truth, who drank the hemlock to pay for the sins of the world before Jesus, because, you know, I mean, those darn Athenians wanted to be BS'd just like they do today. And they wanted to be told, you know, sweet nothings in their ears. They wanted to be lied to. They wanted people to tell them something, you know. And Socrates was a real, in some way, a very cool, principled dude. He said that, if it was a question of truth, and my God of truth, and a question of the nation, and I'd have to pick truth over the nation, because anyone who follows something false is doing something false. I mean, it's a little what we call phony. Any which way, in doing this podcast writing, it's become very interesting at times, though there's been a flood of people writing and podcasting and things of that nature. It's a very difficult thing to achieve some level of success without commercial involvement, without government involvement, and even on the most basic levels, I suppose life is rather difficult. I mean, it's very tempting to get paid a regular salary, and most people opt for regular salary if they're offered such a position, though nowadays I don't know. I think many companies just take stupid applications and don't really ever get back to anyone. Prefer that rather than opting out to live their rest of their existence creatively and independently, let's say on welfare or something like that, because in America, you know, Americans are sort of shallow. You know, it's a question of money to them. If a person is working and slaving 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but not getting paid for it, that's okay. You know, you could do that. You have a right to work yourself to death. You know, but, you know, on the other hand, you know, if that's happening, the Labor Department, I don't suppose, gets involved. I never heard a Labor Department step into a situation and say, hey, painter, you're getting paid, you know, 25 cents an hour to paint that painting because it's taking you 365 days a year. You know, 12 hours a day for 2 years to paint that painting. And it's, you're selling it for $50,000. And, you know, to make a salary commensurate to working at McDonald's and Burger King, but you can't really find too many customers willing to pay $50,000 or $30,000 for a painting like that. I mean, I don't know how many galleries you've been in lately, but I've seen a few local works, a few works displayed locally, which were being sold for such prices. And let me tell you, it's really difficult trying to sell a painting, I think, for $50,000. I mean, how many people you know have even, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000? But I mean, imagine working on a masterpiece for 2 years and wanting to get paid an average salary, which is, well, let's say $18,000 a year, and you want to get paid $18,000 for it. That means after expenses, you'd have to be getting paid, you know, maybe $36,000 for the painting, plus whatever it costs for you to have as a workspace and materials and lights and insurance and health insurance and all that good stuff. So where's the money? America's getting a lot of stuff for free. The world's getting stuff for free. People are working on the internet like never before for free. There's a lot of content provided, but where the heck is the whole world going? Everything's becoming dirt cheap. Not only is life debased, but salaries have been debased, and America's policy doesn't see it as a question of the salaries having to keep pace with inflation. They see it as a question. Those people in the Philippines, they make $1 a day or $5 a day or $10 a day. I mean, from personal experience, I've been told that some computer technicians make $10 a day. There's a whole issue around outsourcing. But then, in that case, Western European and American political people should make it the main focus of their policy to make sure that everyone on planet Earth is getting paid a respectable salary. If that was the case, if all the states in the United States had fair policies regarding labor and, you know, living wage, then, you know, there wouldn't be any competition between the different companies to go to other states and other countries. Where basically these multinational corporations are picking and choosing, and then moving on, very much like corporations went to Japan after World War II, and then after World War II, you know, went to Southeast Asia and China and Singapore and Malaysia and Indonesia, manufacturing their circuitry rather than in the United States. I think it was 48% of a very large percentage of the American economy was transferred from approximately a time of 1948 at the end of World War II to other countries, starting with countries like Japan and Germany, which had the technical ability to produce these things because they had the workforce, the skilled workforce to produce these things. But because their economies had been destroyed, they didn't have the infrastructure. So the investors basically saw an opportunity to move their capital from the United States, where salaries were high, relatively, to these other countries where they can exploit the circumstances and take advantage of people's bad fortunes of being in, you know, these losing players on the world stage. I mean, I wouldn't blame a German or a Japanese person for being in those fascist/dictatorial, totalitarian, aka authoritarian dictatorships. But, you know, I mean, of course, you know, if I had them little red, white, and blue flags, I suppose, you know, everyone from other countries are basically evil, you know. Foreigners, bad. America, good. You know? I mean, very few people express opinions like that, but, you know, everything's become rationalized. We all need therapists. And it's a difficult life. We all have to use these things in the middle of our heads. It's sort of soft and, you know, mushy in there, but, you know, we can't really flex it up too much, but hopefully the circuits work pretty well if we didn't take too much of that drug stuff, which they also invented as part of these pharmaceutical corporations that get major contributions from a diverse pool of investors, from the Vatican to Enron and George W. Bush, probably even has a few stocks in the pharmaceutical industry. Hoffman Drugs basically developed LSD. Bayer Aspirin developed heroin. The British East Indian Company basically created the opium trade with China. And the same problems which they create, all in the name of profits, are the same problems which they later then complain about and try to say it's poor little Tommy's fault for sniffing that glue, you know, and not listening to the preacher and his mother and his father and not reading the Bible every day and praying to the Lord Jesus all the time. Well, you know, hey. Just because you believe in the Lord Jesus and the Lord Buddha and Muhammad doesn't mean you're a nice person, doesn't mean you're even a smart person, doesn't mean you're any kind of a person. In fact, you know, probably some of these people look like cretins, in which the lowest form of creatures on the face of the earth, and I have no faith in them whatsoever. In any case, let's see. What sort of news is there around here today? Oh, we have Enron. The prosecutor in Enron. Oh, this is an old story. May 16th, 2006. Prosecutor said Lay and Skilling cheated. Shareholders were profoundly harmed by the acts, she says in closing argument. Committed crime after crime. When they arrogantly chose to lie to Enron employees and investors as their company crumbled around them, a prosecutor told jurors, kicking off 3 days of closing arguments Monday. Yeah, well, you know, it pays to steal, you know, except, you know, when they call it a corporation, it's called enterprise. When it's someone on welfare, it's called cheating. Yeah, 60% or more maybe of American research and development is for the military. And instead of them putting it into competitive products like some of these corporations in Japan do with all this consumer electronics, we have it all invested in nuclear missiles. Well, how many people on your block own a nuclear missile? If you have more than one, please call me immediately. I'd like to know where he got it from. I'd like to maybe buy it, but not really. No. I have advocated that all 3 old kids and drunks be allowed nuclear weapons so that they can basically serve as the ultimate arbitrators in our society. Anything goes wrong, they'll do it for us, you know. But actually, I wanted to get a small little nuclear submarine at the end of the Cold War, but my friends in Russia didn't let me have one, and Gorby, you know, didn't get me on the red phone, the hotline, and neither did Bush or Clinton or any of them other people. So I'm highly disappointed. I'd like to have my own submarine. I was in love with submarines ever since the Beatles had that wonderful documentary cartoon called Yellow Submarine, and it's been wonderful ever since thinking about such things. What else do we have? Yes, we have very strong interests in art, and let's see. Yes, painter deals in fragments and details. We're the Tamasula Gallery in the McKay blah 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 Union of blah blah blah. How much free? A Newark-based painter whose tiny oils of figural details, a woman's mouth spilling bright red currants on a bed, and or a hand crushing the crimson goo out of a jelly donut. I mean, police are gonna love that. Have been winning notice in large group shows for the past half dozen years. Mazza just won a studio space for 1 year at the Art Center, PS 122 in Manhattan, where she will work through October. You see, this is very strange to me. I mean, here is a person who has to be struggling just to work. I mean, here you the Americans complain that people on welfare, people are, you know, parasites. People are exploiting the rules and regulations. I mean, prosecutors, God knows how many times they win based on technicalities that the defendants can't afford the expert witnesses or something of that nature. And she wants to be working, but, you know, she has to basically struggle in order to get a space. But what's strangely enough about this is that she's comparing. Let me see. Mazza works small, but she paints with a jeweler's eye. In fact, the first comment you might make on a work is about its resemblance to 17th century Dutch models. Dark backgrounds, tight brushwork, and an emphasis on a sensual realism that comes within it a detectable half-life of decay. The content of my painting is not dissimilar to that of Dutch silk. Well, if you know anything about Dutch paintings, the Dutch paintings are not really, they are basically a product of Protestant Reformism, where the Protestant fanatics had reacted in extreme against all that which was Rome and the Catholic Church, and basically separate themselves from what became the Renaissance and Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci's with naked bodies and naked statues. Well, there's a certain evil to them all. I can tell you that for sure. Yes. Very, very much just beneath the surface, there's an evil inclination. There is a evil. What is that? This is a Resident Evil. Yes. I think that's a movie. Where these people basically used that artwork for symbolism, and it was very much something that they had to do, because if it was anything more than just simple depictions of paintings, if it was anything naked or something like that, that was a no-no. And they didn't get out of that for quite a while afterwards. The English, the Protestant, Dutch, I suppose there were some exceptions in Europe, but it wasn't from the Protestants. And ever since, they've been basically living in the hypocrisy of this war on decadence that they have. Though, there's nothing supposed to be wrong with sex. Sex is supposed to be normal. Any which way, I have an interest in these gallery things, and I just feel like I gotta say something about it. Who the heck is it anyway? Well, oh, this is brought to you by the Star Ledger of Newark. I wonder how she got even some sort of mention in there. It's very rare that these local papers even pay attention to things like this. I did see an article the other day about Tom Cruise, but as soon as I saw it on, Yahoo, on some sort of a Yahoo mention, it seemed to disappear from being online. So I couldn't refer back to it. Okay, let's see. Oh, I forgot. Today the music in the background is by Arjen Schumacher, aka Hard Moon, coming from two albums that he somehow released. I think he did this, all this stuff, on an old Apple computer back in the 80s, and one is called Radio Inactivity EP, which is the second release from Hard Moon, which has been waiting to be released for some time now. We just had to put it here. It says blah 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 blah. Is more electronic than the album that preceded it, and maybe a bit darker. I guess. The global style is, however, audible, as the notes go. And the last name is spelled S-C-H-U-M-A-C-H-E-R, and the first name is A-R-J-E-N. The other album that I'm using today is called Space Music for the Millions. The notes unclear, but as you can hear, this is good stuff. I don't know how I would rate it. I don't know if I like to rate anything. But it's generally good stuff. I really think that some of these commercial bands have much. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bands out there. Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails. I mean, I don't even have time to listen to all of them. They remind me in many senses of some friends of mine that I actually worked as a roadie for back in the days, called Suicide, the band Suicide, which was Marty Reverby playing keys and synth and all the electronic gizmos, and Alan Vega, who basically was the singer frontman. And it's many of the same things with the overtones. Back in the days of early days of CBGBs, back in the days before Blondie was signed to a contract, back in the days before the Ramones signed to contracts. I mean, this was ancient history. I remember loading the equipment for Marty and Alan in some small bar on West 23rd Street in Manhattan. And it was really nice, you know. They threw me a few bucks, but, you know, just to be hanging around the guys and being in people's lives is pretty nice sometimes. I'm sorry that in some ways they are no longer with us. I know they're alive somewhere, but, you know, I don't see them right here right now, so I'm highly disappointed, you know. I'd like to cause some trouble, but I'd like to rankle their feathers and, you know, do all that stuff that normally friends do. Marty and I actually love to discuss some stuff, but he was into his own trip in some way. You know, he was, I don't know, I mean, a lot of musicians aren't necessarily the most philosophical. With some exceptions, you have the Gang of Four and MC5 and The Clash and a few other bands. But the Boss, Bruce Springsteen. I mean, any guy who contributes money the way he does sometimes can't be all that bad. But you know, I'm not an establishment dude. I don't want to be an establishment dude. I don't know how well I'll get along with all of that anyway. I mean, every time the Republicans tick me off and the Democrats somehow get me to be sympathetic to them, Democrats then tick me off, and when the Republicans and then the Democrats tick me off, then Ralph Nader ticks me off. And if the Republicans, the Democrats, and Ralph Nader tick me off with the Greenies, I mean, God, who the heck is next? I mean, they all are gonna tick me off because it seems like, you know, they're all doing something wrong. I mean, to what extent should I really get on their case? I'm not sure about that at all. I've had some wonderful experiences discussing philosophy with people. I think though they have not espoused opinions which I can agree with, I think that the experience has led me to many conclusions, which has somehow led to a state of enlightenment, which is quite nice. I like that. It was really, 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 really nice. And it's hard work doing all this stuff. I found another switch on this bloody computer. I can play with these switches, so now it's not gonna go, it should be clipping less. I think it would be clipping best if I leave it at the 120 dB range. I shouldn't have any technical difficulties after a while with this software, but the first few times I tried this stuff to do podcasting, I loaded all these clips into one track and the whole program just froze up on me at some time when I wanted to sort of stop everything. So it's really, you know, difficult at times to be doing all this technical stuff. I want to find something out. I want to find something out. Where the heck is this? I want to see what's in the news today on Oddly Enough. I keep referring to Yahoo in some sort of friendly sense, but you know, I mean, this guy who's the head of Yahoo, he's big business now. He originally came from my hometown in Brooklyn. It's amazing how many people came from my hometown in Brooklyn that went to the same schools I did, especially some of them. But, I mean, I suppose, you know, that's about par for the course. I mean, even here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, you know, they have their hometown dudes who made it big. Most often, I would have to say, by leaving the city. And I find that very interesting at times, where people have to leave cities or leave where they were born and raised in order to find some level of success. So, I don't know. I don't know. Life is so much the way it is. Oh God, I gotta reset this whole... Oh God, yeah, I mean, these Yahoo things always are a pain in the, you know what, you know. Yahoo, Google, I have to reset the preferences to have what I want listed. It went from 100 down to only 10, and that's a pain. I mean, you go through 10 listings on a screen at a time. I would prefer that they have 100, 1,000 listings on a screen at once, because I get very tired of looking at different pages. It's a pain. You know, in fact, they could list everything on Yahoo's search engine one after the other on one page, so I don't have to switch pages. I don't care. I don't want to. I don't really want to. No, not at all. Not at all. I wanted it a little easy, man. I wanted it a little easy. Yeah. Why should it be so hard? Make it so difficult for somebody to find anything. Where the heck do they get their, you know, whatever opinions they market research information from? I mean, does someone actually tell them they want to have one page listed at a time? You know, I look up the word odd news, man, and it's like, wow. How many are these listed on the internet? There's like, Odd News brings up approximately 50,600,000 for Odd News. You know, if I put it in parentheses and try to, you know, get something simple, it's still 7,120,000. Good. Is something about Pennsylvania and the Secret Service too. Wow. Okay. Interesting. PA man's letter brings Secret Service. An elderly man who wrote in a letter to the editor about Saddam Hussein's execution that they hanged the wrong man got a visit from Secret Service agents concerned he was threatening Bush. Now, how the heck can they get that so twisted? Oh, well, I guess, I mean, a lot of people I heard said they didn't really execute Saddam Hussein. They probably got him just like the POW MIAs. I mean, you know, 30 years after the war, there's in probably some Siberian gulag camp being tortured by the KGB, who are planning to take over the world again, you know, when Stalin comes back from the grave. Yes. The letter by Dan Tilley, 81, was published in Monday's edition of the Express Times of Easton, Pennsylvania. It ended with the line, "I still believe they hanged the wrong man." Well, he didn't say who was the right man. I actually heard people say that, you know, they didn't hang Saddam Hussein. You know, everyone saw him get the noose around him, but nobody really saw him die. And of course, they didn't examine the body. And there are many people who say that we didn't even land on the moon. So it's life, you know, it's life. There's a lot of really crazy people out there, but what is the Secret Service really doing? You know, did they want a vacation in beautiful Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Why didn't they pick Bethlehem, you know, in the West Bank, Israel? You know, let me see. Tilley said the statement was not a threat, which I can understand. I didn't say who. I could have meant Osama bin Laden, he said. Two Secret Service agents questioned Tilley. Well, the guy makes common sense with this. But why is it the Secret Service, you know, can't figure this out? I mean, they have to interrogate him. Yes, they have not given up on them rubber hoses up their noses. They want to get back into the middle of things. We need to torture these people. They say, you know, I mean, someone opens their mouth. No, God, there might be someone knocking at my door any second now. But, I don't know. It seems a shame. It wasn't Tilley's first run-in with the federal government over his letter writing. Two FBI agents from Allentown showed up at his home last year about a letter he wrote advocating a civil war to unseat Bush. I mean, okay, so he advocated a civil war. I mean, you know, I think the government really takes this legitimacy legalism things too far. If you go according to what Bush and the government says, we'd still be British subjects, which I advocate probably, because, you know, I mean, it's probably better to have some sort of, you know, bloody, foolish, senile old lady, you know, running everything than it is to have, you know, some of these guys. But then again, we had Ronald Reagan. You know, I mean, why didn't they investigate all the people that were behind Ronald Reagan pulling the strings? I mean, did they actually check Ronald Reagan to see whether there were the strings, you know, connecting his arms and, you know, so that every time they pulled it, that his arms moved? I don't know. I mean, that would have been interesting. And please don't get me confused. I neither support nor oppose the war. I hope they all kill each other sometimes because, you know, it's just, it doesn't seem like the world is based on any true principles of any values. It just seems like they're all pretty much self-serving, solipsisms, pompous, pretentious, and conceited fools. I really get disgusted with these articles. 81-year-old guy with the Secret Service knocking at his door. Yes, we got to have the Secret Service get everybody. Everyone should be confined to their homes, in which case the president should deliver meals on wheels to everyone. He should actually get a real job, and we'll all be confined to our homes under house arrest for the next 20 years, and he can stay president for that 20 years, as long as he delivers wholesome meals to each and every one of us, while we have to put up with his nonsense. There's so much. This music is pretty good. I think you would agree. And it's another example of that stuff on the internet. I mean, so far as I understand it, it's relatively free. And I don't know how someone's supposed to make a living and pay for all this stuff. It's really amazing, but. You know, it's a modern phenomena where the economy is completely undermining itself, and we don't know really where it's going to go to. I guess one day we'll all be working for the military. They're going to finally draft everyone like they should, so that when they draft everyone, everyone, you know, won't be hiding, you know, behind some little flag saying, "Hey, yeah, send in the GIs. Well, to think about it, if everyone got drafted, there'll be a lot more people right now against the war. And I'm neither for nor against the war. But just think about it. I mean, everyone is supposed to serve in some capacity. I don't have any objection to that. I do have objections to these totalitarian types of measures that they have, where they have surveillance cameras everywhere, where they have these audio and visual recordings in some archive that only some officials get to see. I mean, we're not even allowed the opportunity of pulling down our pants and mooning them when they, you know, have these things on, because they're in public places. But they should put one in my house, and I know where it is, so I can pull down my pants and give them a big moon. You know? But, you know, I guess that's not legal either, because, you know, it has to be labeled appropriately. Well, let me see. There's another article. Here we are. Take your sex and violence straight up, not diluted on A and E. Well, it's official. In less than 7 years, we've witnessed a strange trifecta of censorship. Way back in 2000, heady times know, when a smattering of Utah companies began honing on technology that would clean the sex and violence out of movies. It was like some strange, pointless intrusion that entered the marketplace. But that wasn't totally unexpected. Selling censorship or even values is oddly American. You can't put a price on righteousness and cleanliness in a world of Hollywood smut, can you? Never mind that the logic was mind-bendingly askew. People want to see Hollywood movies with sex and violence and have the right to take the sex and violence out with software. The marketplace doesn't care about sides. Which one are you on? Which one is intellectually or morally correct? It only cares about cash. Well, that's what I said all the time. Who the heck is this? That's, let's see. Tim Goodman of the San Francisco Chronicle. Hey, smart guy, Tim. Congratulations. that only cares about cash. I've been saying that all along. Must be one of them guys which in another time would have been labeled some kind of subversive commie pinko, but I don't know. That's not for me to figure out. I might get locked up for slander if I say that, and I wouldn't say that because, you know, maybe he's a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. And the article continues to say, then censorship crept into the Federal Communications Commission when Michael Powell, backed by the cheerleading of the ultra-conservative Parents Television Council, went on a crusade to clean up television. Janet Jackson may have been the poster girl for that era, but it was PBS and local network affiliates that dared run an unedited Saving Private Ryan that were hurt the most. You know, swearing in wartime is bad form. What? You can blow someone's body away, but if they swore in the process, American children everywhere would be scarred. Hold it a second. This guy is saying that American children would be scarred if they blew someone away and cursed at the same time? Well, you know, I'm sorry about this, folks, but I gotta find, you know, that article on my blog again, because I remember I just posted an article there, including the original court case, where Justice Roberts upheld the decision by the courts in the District of Columbia, where issues were brought regarding the arrest of a 12-year-old girl for eating a French fry in a metro station. She was handcuffed, held for several hours in a windowless room, waiting for her parents to take her home. They took away her shoelaces because, of course, the girl was going to commit suicide at 12 years old. She was crying for 3 hours, traumatically experiencing this thing. And here, another good American is saying that, you know, it's a question of profanity. Well, I suppose tongue-in-cheek, you know, there's some sarcasm involved here, and being that I'm, you know, as retarded as I am, I can't notice it. I can't notice the nuance of this thing, but I know that it's somehow related, because this girl, 12 years old, was arrested in a metro station, handcuffed, taken downtown, put in a windowless room, crying for 3 hours, had her shoelaces taken away from her, all for just eating a French fry. The law was later rescinded by the metro authorities, and they didn't do anything. The courts didn't do anything. The American government didn't do anything. And the traumatic experience is going to stay with this poor girl for the rest of her life. A rape would have taken less time than 3 hours. Child molesting would have taken less than 3 hours, perhaps. You know, I think that whole incident was like child molesting, you know, arresting the 12-year-old child for eating a French fry is a little stupid. The police blew their cover. I don't know what kind of criminals they were hunting, but, you know, I think they should be taken off of active duty permanently. They might have been already. I think that they have to go to a monastery, maybe to one of the islands off of the coast of Ireland, where there's not too much plant life, to suffer what they call the Green Death of isolation and quietude. Because, I mean, they have to really search their souls, you know, for the incident. But, I mean, at a certain age, these people aren't going to really learn anything. I mean, I don't have a bias against anyone specifically, but I would be ashamed of myself for the rest of my life if I would even consider arresting a 12-year-old girl for doing nothing more than eating a French fry on a metro station platform. And I would be ashamed of myself for the rest of my life if I would examine the issue solely from the legal perspective of Justice Roberts without considering the violation of the girl's civil rights to happiness, to equal treatment under the law, to due process, because here they had a law on the books and they admittedly made a mistake and then they took it off the books. So, you know, it's a question of making law by trial and error. I mean, God, I wasn't even allowed at sometimes jobs as dishwashers and house painters and things like that, where I could make mistakes on such as, and here they actually are arresting people based on trial and error. They're making laws based on trial and error. I mean, dear civil servants of America, aren't you ashamed of yourself for, or would you be ashamed of yourself for enforcing such laws? I don't care what the excuse is. I really see something wrong with it. I don't care, you know, which government it is. It's something wrong with it all. But in any case, the article, which I've gotten off the track of saying, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't know if it's... How fully interesting this is in some respect. Intriguing, blah, blah, blah. Moral profiteers has used censorship and the government has used censorship. Your cheap neighbors are using censorship instead of next Netflix. Strange times indeed. It would be easy to say viewers feasting on sanitized Sopranos are the same people using cleansing software to make movies more like God wanted them to be, God being relative to your faith and maybe even your state. A good bet. Yes, we gotta hide everything we don't like away. We can't see it. You know, we're too sensitive. We need therapy. We need drugs. We need the pharmaceutical industry. Where's the world coming to? What's going to? Coming to? The notion doesn't make sense. You want to watch Tony Soprano be a woman-hating, thuggish, murderous, I'll bet emotionally conflicted mob boss. You don't want to hear him swear so much, but you don't want to hear him swear so much. It's okay to saw someone's head off, but it's not okay to say the F word. Good point. In Sex and the City, where there's a premise in the series that women are getting theirs, good point, they're having careers and orgasms too. And sometimes they are discarding the men that help in the latter department. How is the realism of the series served by having Carrie and company talk about sex but not actually be seen having it? Different show. It's hard to fathom anyone not broke, which is excusable, wanting to see what amounts to a watered-down artistic vision. It's hard to accept the logic, no check, that the argument of people who say that what a writer means to convey through language or physical action can be censored and still deliver the same message. It's much like yearning to watch Scarface, but wanting it to play on your screen like It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, God. Tim Goodman. Tim Goodman can be reached at T. Goodman, T-G-O-O-D-M-A-N, @ sfchronicle.com. You can read his blog, The Bastard Machine, at www.thebastardmachine.com. I liked it. I like that. That's, you know, he's made some excellent points. You know, it's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Just because America's rich does not mean, you know, it can sanitize the world. It has to actually cure the world. It has to cure the poverty in the world. There's too much of it. Many people in the world live on a dollar a day. Many live on $2 a day. If you include those that live on $1, $2, and $3 a day, you're probably including a very large percentage of all the people on planet Earth. And these Mormons in Utah are developing this technology, or should I say, these Republicans, or maybe Democrats, I don't know, it doesn't really say what the heck they are. These weird people, you know, I mean, it's all, they've come up with something new, but I don't know. It seems like it's all self-serving. In any case, I think we've gone over an hour, and that's about it for right now, because if I let this thing go on forever, it'll probably blow out the machine, and I'm not too sure what the heck is doing, so I'll just try it the way it is. If you care to write to me, I could be reached at Andres, P.O. Box 1615, Altoona, Pennsylvania. That's A-L-T-O-O-N-A, comma, P-A, 16603. That's P.O. Box 1615, Altoona, P.A., 16603. You can check out my website at zito.biz, and there's some links to some other affiliated websites, and okay, so au revoir, hasta la vista, arrivederci, ciao, have a good evening, good morning.